Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. You're dealing with chronic pain or an ongoing condition that causes you discomfort. You've heard of alternative therapies or complementary medicine options that have helped others, and you'd like to try them out. But how do you know if they'll work or if they're a waste of money?
Fortunately, the NIH has established the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health to evaluate these therapies. Here to share that knowledge is the center's director, Dr. Josephine Briggs. She's trained as a traditional physician with an MD from Harvard Medical School, residency training in internal medicine and nephrology at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine, and a research fellowship in physiology at Yale School of Medicine. Dr. Briggs is recognized internationally as an accomplished researcher.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Briggs. We so appreciate your expertise.
Delighted to be with you.
Dr. Briggs, we can't think of anyone better suited to guide our listeners through some of the more well-known alternative therapies. Can you briefly tell us what's known about the safety and effectiveness of a few of the more widely practiced modalities? And why don't we start with acupuncture?
There's a very sizable body of research on acupuncture. Many of your listeners know that acupuncture is a very ancient practice, widely practiced in Asian countries. And the interest in acupuncture in the United States actually goes back to a trip that James Reston made to China at the time of the Nixon administration, where he came back and wrote about how acupuncture helped him with post-op pain. And I think that the body of evidence points to an impact of acupuncture on a number of categories of pain. I have good friends who tell me it's really helped their plantar fasciitis, for example. So we have a large body of anecdotal evidence and a reasonable body of randomized blinded trials that point in the direction of benefit of acupuncture. Now, I will say something about the benefit of acupuncture, which is it is something about the whole ritual and experience and perhaps being poked that results in this changed fear, expectation. We call it the effect of context, because if you put the poking needles on or off the meridians, that doesn't seem to make very much difference. And there is certainly some arguments that broadly defined the placebo effect is part of how acupuncture works. But I think the safety data is pretty strong. Very rarely there have been side effects from needles, but these seem to be quite uncommon. And it does seem to change how the body responds to pain.
What about naturopathic medicine?
You know, naturopathic physicians are trained in a set of practices that include quite heavy use of dietary supplements and herbal medicines. Naturopaths are often quite expert in these products and certainly provide patients with good advice about product selection. But in order to comment on whether the practice is valuable, one really has to talk specifically about the actual application. So naturopathic practice involves so many components that I can't give you a quick and easy summary.
Totally understood. Let's move on to yoga and Tai Chi, because I know there have been a lot of studies lately, and they seem to all indicate that both of these practices definitely have positive impacts on the body.
Right. So yoga is, of course, a traditional set of movements and postures that comes out of Indian practice. And certainly yoga practices can include headstands that are dangerous. So it isn't correct to say all of it's totally safe. But yoga is, with its emphasis on posture, on breathing, on relaxation, on the mental state associated with the exercise, on the meditative components, being very effectively used in a number of healthcare settings for problems like back pain. And as long as the teacher is attentive to the physical strains that may be imposed and asks about them and is careful to modify postures if needed, we think that yoga can be used quite safely. Tai Chi is a set of meditative exercise forms that comes out of China. Again, it's a very meditative exercise form, very slow, and associated with mental practices and relaxation. There's a number of studies on Tai Chi for preventing falls in elderly people and for balance and for treatment potentially of in Parkinson's patients. And again, this is a set of exercise form that seems very safe. It's actually being used in a good number of nursing homes as a kind of form of meditative exercise that can be adapted effectively to elderly people. So we feel pretty positive about the way this is being implemented and its potential. It's not just for older people. I think it's good for younger people, too. If you've ever visited China and you walk around the street either early in the morning or late in the evening, you'll see many people out doing Tai Chi exercises, and it's just quite impressive and interesting.
And what about something that's a little lesser known than yoga and Tai Chi, and that is Reiki? Can you just quickly describe Reiki, and are there any studies to show its effectiveness?
You know, Reiki is a traditional set of practices that has actually not attracted much high-quality research. And so I really have trouble telling you. I'm not expert in Reiki, and we haven't had successful grant applications to study Reiki. I don't know of any safety concerns, but at the same time, I can't provide you much information about whether it works or not.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Raff.
And our guest is Dr. Josephine Briggs. She is director of the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health at the National Institutes of Health. We're talking about various alternative treatments and modalities and getting Dr. Briggs' take on them. Dr. Briggs, many of us love to get a massage. We feel that it's self-indulgent. And whether the placebo effect is at work or not, it just feels good. But what about the scientific and medical benefits of massage?
Yeah. There's interesting science developing on soft tissue effects that result from a manipulation of muscles and their capsules, and that this may activate neural mechanisms that result in better sleep, and that the relaxation one feels after a massage it may indeed be a reflection of those processes. We consider massage to be highly safe, practiced by an experienced practitioner, and certainly a perhaps self-indulgent, but certainly for many people a pleasurable addition to health and wellness. I'm old enough to have pretty many aches and pains after I go for long walks and runs, and I've always struck at the end of a run occasional half marathon, and there's always massage therapists waiting at the end, and I think, gosh, that's great. So it does seem to be something that, when added to vigorous physical exercise, helps people deal with the discomforts of aging.
Well, I can't speak to the type of massage one would get at the end of a half marathon, having never had that experience. But I know when you're indoors having a massage, very often they combine it with essential oils, and they feel that's part of healing. So we wanted to get your opinion on aromatherapy. They use these essential oils, not just with a massage, but the claims are that it helps to maintain and promote physical and psychological healing. Has that been studied? Is there any science that connects these oils with good health?
You know, the science is pretty soft. I think we're all aware that our mental state is influenced by an environment that smells good, that the temperatures are pleasant, and all these features of a pleasant environment that result in greater mental relaxation. So I don't feel there's any reason to poo-poo aromatherapy, but I'd have to say that in the most rigorous scientific studies that have looked at aromatherapy, the evidence for benefit is very, very modest. You know, this is one of these challenges, is we're talking about health processes that may have very subtle effects. And over time, as we better understand, I think these are effects on the brain. The brain is the key organ that is influenced by our environment. as our methods to study the subtle changes in the brain that context or a pleasant environment have, we may indeed be able to pull out the biological effects. We have an excellent investigator whose work we have supported at Ohio State, and she's a very thoughtful investigator who studies the impact of stress on the immune system. She did a very careful study published in one of the most prestigious journals, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, looking at essential oils, lavender and lemon were the two that she used, to see if they changed the immune system. And the effects did not achieve clear, what we call statistical significance, although the lavender was a little better for mood than the lemon. But that's an example. These are subtle effects, and there's no reason to tell your listeners that they need to. I'm being reminded that particular paper was published in Psychoneuroendocrinology. But there's no reason to discourage your listeners from adding a pleasant essential oil to their hot bath in the evening or a massage treatment. But I have to also tell you there's reason not, at the present time, to think that's not going to be a dramatic cure.
Well, there's one practice that people used to think it was a little bit fringe, but now there's plenty of evidence that meditation is indeed effective. We just want your official sanction on it.
Yeah, we have a fairly sizable body of work that meditation of practices, mindfulness, breath stress reduction is one of them, has effects on emotional states and emotional health and on the brain, and probably modifies pain. And the enormous public interest right now in being more mindful and in having the skill of mental cognitive control that comes from meditative practice is a positive thing. I think of it as positive in more domains of life than simply health. But we find the science around meditation to be extremely interesting. We're learning more and more about how these practices affect the brain, and all of it looks really quite positive.
In the couple of minutes that we have left, Dr. Briggs, let's switch gears. We just want to ask you about three supplements which have gained popularity, and I do believe there are even ongoing studies, starting with vitamin D, taking vitamin D supplements. Is it safe to do so? Does the body need it? What does the research tell us?
Right. The Office of Dietary Supplements is the part of the NIH. I work very closely with them that provides public information on vitamin D. Many physicians are measuring vitamin D levels in their patients, and based on those levels are adding vitamin D if the levels are low. I don't think there's a reason at the present time to recommend vitamin D across the board, but it is certainly a reasonable thing to. It's an important thing to talk to your doctor about. And for some people, particularly people living in cold northern places like upstate New York with relatively little exposure to sunlight, it's certainly reasonable to talk to your physician about it.
I just wanted you to comment briefly on fish oil supplements and what we know about probiotics.
So probiotics are an interesting topic of research, and there is some growing evidence that antibiotics cause GI upset that can be counteracted by the use of probiotics. And that's the one area where the evidence is at least reasonably solid for probiotics. Fish oil is an interesting topic. I actually am part of a trial myself on fish oil. We thought a few years ago that fish oil was going to have a pretty dramatic effect on heart disease, but the more recent studies have suggested the effect is much less than was thought. I, however, see no downside to making sure there's some fish oil omega-3s in your diet, and that there's a pretty strong body of epidemiology associating this kind of an omega-3 rich diet with somewhat better outcomes. Fish oil supplementation, I'm neutral on that. Until we get more evidence.
Dr. Josephine Briggs is director of the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health at the NIH. Thank you so much for joining us at Take Care.
Delighted to be with you.